is you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
Yeah. My ankle needs to click and it won't. And you know, when it's in that in-between stage of like clicking and not clicking.
I get that with my knee a lot.
Oh, my knees sound like artillery when I stand up. Fucking hell.
Yeah, all good.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Rolling.
There you go. Hello and welcome to Full Reptile Radio episode 3. We did it. We got it this far, man.
Yeah.
We did
it's been
3.
Good so far. hope you've enjoyed the first two shows. Been fun to do. Getting in some MMA news and what's going on in the sport.
Yeah, man. It's nice. And I think most people have realised, obviously, it's on a different channel.
Yeah.
It's still massively part of Full Reptile. It's just, obviously, we've got it on the separate one now. So I've had a load of people interacting, or at when I did the trivia with you, people were messaging me to answer it, which was cool. So yeah, thank you for getting involved. Obviously, it's just good to be back and chat shit about what happened last week.
Yeah. How's your week been?
Yeah, all right, man. Just busy. Really, like, kind of scatty and mental, because January is just great, isn't it?
It's a miserable month, ain't it?
It is. I think, you know, for the excitement that you've got leading up to Christmas, I don't know if you still get excited for Christmas. I mean, I'm like a big kid.
I love Christmas. Great. Yeah. Good time of year.
And I think, obviously, we kind of don't stop. And I mean, for working, I'm beyond blessed and lucky and feel so grateful for what I do. But at the same time, I think it's the hardest I've ever worked ever, because it's not a 9 to 5. Like, we find ourselves up late or up early or whatever it is.
And yeah, there's no dedicated, like, specific hours to it. It's like whenever something needs
doing. What do you need? We need to do it. It's the same as, like, bank holidays and actual days off. Like, I know when I was working at Egg, Stace would send me to work on the first day back from Christmas with all of my holidays pre-planned, because you had to get in before someone else.
Yeah.
And it was such a headache, because it was kind of stressful. You had this anxiety of getting there early enough to get booked in before someone else stole your holidays. And fortunately, because obviously we manage everything ourselves, like, those little anchor points in your life of bank holidays and this and that, they kind of don't exist anymore. Like, and I, most of the time, I don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
It's only when the kids don't need taken to school in the morning. I know we're pretty much at the weekend. So December for me, because Dan's a big family man, and obviously he loves spending time with family as well, we all make a point and we kind of shut down a bit for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I think,
plus there's no UFCs on for like 6 weeks.
Exactly, which is gutting. But you get that window of, say, a week where you know you can kind of turn your brain off a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think because of all the excitement from the whole year leading up to that, it goes past like a Porsche. It's over so quick, and like the lull after all the overindulging and all the like family and everything you get is January. It's like we need to like half Christmas or like 2/3 Christmas and then leave some of the good bit for January, just so that we can, like, we're not just cold turkeying. Do you know what I mean? But it always just feels, because the weather's shit, you have to scrape your window on your car, everything's just a bit shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, work-wise, I've got loads of stuff in the pipes. We've got different designs coming. We've got a drop this weekend. Cool stuff, but it's just I'm doing it colder and a bit miserable.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, the new stuff.
There you go. You've got a little mo on. Yeah.
This is one of two items being dropped.
Yeah, so we did the little mo and Outlaw Army. So Outlaw Army.
The back as well.
Yeah, check it out. Check out the little dude. He's a proper rascal.
I'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah, he gets into a lot of trouble, little Mo does. He's a Molotov cocktail. And he's got a match to go and he smokes his cigarette with style. If you know the lyrics that I've just quoted, which you will do.
I don't.
You don't?
No.
Oh, come on. I got a Molotov cocktail with a match to go. I smoke my cigarette with style. And I can tell you, honey, you can make me money tonight. I'm on a
highway to hell.
Night train. Uh-huh.
Never would have got
the
that.
Intro to that. Wake up late, honey, put on your clothes, take a wedding car to the liquor store. Guns N' Roses, man.
Oh, okay. I've never really listened to a lot of, obviously, besides the typical.
Oh, shit.
I've never really got into Roses, Guns N' Roses.
That's the first time I got in so much trouble off my mom. I had a cassette deck, like a cassette player. Probably every kid my age had the same one because it was mid-range Aria or Alba or some shit, silver, with like a big one speaker on it, cassette. And my stepmom had bought me Appetite for Destruction for Christmas. And obviously the needle between my dad's side and my mum's side was always pretty rough because obviously they separated. So when I got home and I've got Guns N' Roses and it's explicit lyrics on the thing, my mum was like, at first she was trying to play it off. She's like, yeah, that's fine. No, it's fine. Obviously it's from your dad's side. And I'm like, all right. So Mr. Brownstone is obviously, the majority of Guns N' Roses songs are drugs references, right? So Mr. Brownstone is one of the songs and they're talking about, I'm pretty sure they're talking about smack. And it's like heroin, pretty bad, dark shit. But he's singing about him like this old man. And me and my cousin Ben, who's a couple of years younger than me, so I'd have probably been about 12. So Ben was like 10 or 9. I can't remember exactly how old he is. And one of the lines of the song is, that old man, he's a real motherfucker, gonna kick him on down the line, right? And we rewound that probably 1,000 times. Only in my bedroom, just listening. But she came in, turned it off, and like in one swoop, managed to turn it off, eject the tape, pull it out, like completely ruined and just fuming. And I was like, what's wrong? She's like, you like that, do you? Like that lyric? And I was like, how long have you been stood there? And yeah, Guns N' Roses was my introduction to swearing is cool in songs.
Yeah,
swearing is cool generally, but definitely in songs.
I do like 80s rock, but it was just never one of the ones that I...
Yeah, like it wasn't the hair metal. It was a bit more... Like
a bit more Motley edgy. Crue. I like Motley Crue.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Yeah, decent. And the kids like Motley Crue as well, which is nice. Which is kind of weird because like, Libby knows all the words to Home Sweet Home and stuff like that. And it's one of them where back in the day it was a real niche. Do you know what I mean? If you're a rocker, you couldn't have been this. And like now it's a lot more open, which is kind of,
You can like everything. Well, not that you couldn't then, but... This is, it's a bit more diverse in terms of like what music styles people like now.
For real. Like if I was
people's
at school.
People's tastes.
Yeah. If I was at school and I said, oh, have you heard that new Take That song? Mate, that was literally like me saying, does anyone come and kick my head in the pens down at dinner time? Because it would have instantly made a judgment and you're out the crew instantly. And you think, it's only music.
It's because everyone's got Spotify or Apple Music. So you've got access to all different types of music, which is pretty cool because you can be listening to like, you know, Spanish guitar music and, you know, and some hardcore hip hop.
Mate, I've got, honestly, I think my playlist, when I look at it, I think it's about 2 weeks long and it's literally everything.
Mm.
And I kind of like the fact that, because, I mean, you can skip half a dozen times on random just to drop in something, but the amount of times it's just playing in the background and I kind of don't want it to change. But then it goes from Billy Ocean to, I don't know, Guns N' Roses, and
Wu-Tang.
Then back AC/DC, Wu-Tang, Snoop, and I'm like, crack on. I kind of, I like that.
Yeah, same.
But I took the girls to HMV, it was Libby's, she was 11, and she's kind of unique, which is cool. She's got a proper side of crazy to her, and she likes HMV, because now it's not necessarily so much about the CDs and DVDs, it's more, they import a lot of manga stuff
I haven't been in a HMV in years. No, I don't know what it's like in there now.
I wasn't allowed in for a long time because I was shoplifting once, and back in the day in my old career I was I got into robbing with my mate Brooke, and the first thing
got into
robbing in a big way. Well, it was the 90s, so what, it was in 92, so yeah, there was cameras and stuff, but it wasn't as extreme as it is now, and obviously we were always faster than the guard. But He lent me a coat. I went to his house and his mum was really conscious. She was like, you need to put a coat on before I drop you in town. And we're like, okay. And we're like 12. So it was the first sort of few times you go into town, you're not just going to Games Workshop to sit and paint figures. Like, you're actually going to go for a wander. So she put me this coat on. It was too big for me. And Brooke looked at me and was like, look like you got plenty of room in that coat. I was like, yeah. He went, open it a minute. And I was like, all right, opened my coat. And we was in HMV and there was a like a 5 CD or 3 CD classic music album. And obviously back in the day, they were quite chunky. And he just dropped it straight in my coat. And I was like, oh, I need to be accepted by this dude. I can't world chat now. So literally, we went out the shop, nothing happened. And that sort of started a career of just petty little bits, being a bit of a scumbag. And obviously not having a lot of money growing up, like people at school would go, oh, get me one and I'll pay you for it. So it sort of turned into a bit of a side hustle. But fast forward for like 6 weeks and we walked into HMV and in Derby, it was next to the Ram. It was this massive building. And we walked in and this security guard looked at his other security guard and they both started marching towards us. So I was like, oh shit. So from that day, I didn't go back into an HMV until I met Stace.
Jeez.
And I was 17 and she was collecting the Friends
videos. Missed the good years of HMV.
That's it. I missed all the two for 10 on videos and stuff. And she was collecting the Friends tapes and I'd not been with her long. And she was like, oh, just nip with me into HMV. I just want to buy myself some videos. And I was like, oh shit, how do I tell her about my dark, dark past?
It's got
past?
A fake moustache on it.
Yeah, like a massive nose and big glasses. Like, oh, all right. Honestly, man, because the thing is, I've got to admit to my current girlfriend that I'd only been with for a few weeks that like, I know I used to rob from, well, I only ever robbed once from there, but like it really affected me. It was the wrong thing to do. It was pretty bad, but yeah, I didn't really go in for a while.
Mm.
But now they've got, that's what I was doing, I was showing Libs how we used to buy music. And because she's obsessed, she plays Spotify when we drive from school to drop her off. And I was like, look, this is the album that you listen to, but you only need two tracks off that. And then you need to go over here. And she was like, well, you have to buy them separate. I was like, well, yeah. And then you swap the discs. She's like, looked at me. Like, if she was an adult, she'd have been like, oh, fuck that. But you could just see her brain not being able to comprehend why the top floor is full of CDs that you have to physically move and change and interact with it. And I was like, they've got a lot of cool shit nowadays.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's just nice going into like a record shop and I think it's more for the actual cover as well. You're just looking at cool covers.
Yeah. And the smell.
Yeah.
You know the smell of vinyl and the sound is second to none. I love the crackle.
Yeah, I went to a couple of nice ones when I was in New York last, in Brooklyn. Dude. Some really cool record shops. They were playing some like obscure like electronic music and there was proper eerie in there. Yeah. You're like looking through like, whoa.
But then you find yourself getting into it. And you're like,
yeah.
I got into it. There's a guy, I don't know if I told you about him before, he's called Juzzy Smith and he's an Australian one man band and he plays a harmonica, a guitar, shakers.
And what, all strapped to him?
Yeah, mate. But honestly, it is probably the best music ever to have on in the background of anything.
Yeah.
Like at Christmas, I had that on because you've always got someone's like, oh, turn this off or turn it up. Do you know what I mean? It's never like people just get on and listen to it. And obviously you don't want the conversation to be interrupted. But because it's such a cool, like chilled out melody, because it's all really slow. He's Australian and he's a proper cool dude. And like when I had my old dog Harley and I found him on Facebook playing this melody. And it kind of reminds me of my old dog because I was walking with him, listening to this music, really falling into it. And every time I think of it now or listen to it, I've just got this little ugly dog looking at me like, what I mean. So yeah, it's weird what you find, isn't it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Especially what you're into. But sorry, because I went way off on a mad tangent because you said what we were releasing and I was like, have I told you about nicking stuff from HMV?
All right, yeah. So, yeah,
So Little Mo and Outlaw Army got released last year. Dan was due to fight Diego Sanchez. So we went for an old school walkout shirt because you guys have always loved them when we've done them in the past and they've sold out and it's cool. And very similar happened this time. So the Outlaw Army and Little Mo, they got sold and really popular, really cool. We got all the sponsors on the back of the Outlaw Army. Little Mo's kind of vintage 1920s cartoon.
Yeah.
And obviously coming into January, that's when me and Dan sort of sat down and was like, look, everything's really, really miserable at the minute, really slow, really quiet around the world. And so we've done a reprint. So we've bought back the Little Mo t-shirt and the Outlaw Army t-shirt. But because it's kind of cold, everyone was asking me at the time for a hoodie.
Yeah.
Or a sweat.
The hoodies are great.
Yeah.
Really nice. And the sweatshirts.
It's weird, isn't it? Some people are all about sweats. Some people are all about hoods.
I'd say I'd probably wear a Actually, I've got into fleeces. Quite like wearing a good fleece now, to be honest.
Oh, nice.
Plus, they're quite insulated as well, and it's fucking freezing.
It is freezing. Yeah.
But no, I'd say I probably wear a hoodie more often.
Yeah, I'm probably 90% hoodie. If I ever sweat, I don't know what it is, but I feel like I need a collar underneath it, even if it's a polo.
Right.
I don't like to see like my collar from my shirt above the collar from the sweat.
Yeah, yeah.
And because I'm not tonked out with like a Tito Ortiz neck, I can't get the one down. So it's got to be a hood. Yeah, it's weird, man. Yeah. But yeah, so they are going to be dropping Sunday, 4 o'clock. They're limited numbers as always. Obviously, as you know, we are a small independent, so we try and make a little run so we know it's going to go, so then we can reinvest that and make something else for you guys. So have a look, see what you think. Even if you don't want to buy it, just let us know what you think, or if you know what you want to see next, just let us know.
Yeah, we've got some cool stuff coming.
Yeah,
some cool stuff in the pipeline. And did you watch the fights last weekend?
I did. I watched them all.
Yeah.
I watched every single one, and nice. I was so proud of DC.
Why?
Did you not hear him shout stop the fight? It is full lungs.
What, in the Glover Jamal fight?
No, it was the Andrade fight.
Oh, right. I've only seen highlights of that. I don't know if the...
Mate.
Yeah.
He was just... And you know the phrase, she's good, too good for her own good. She's too tough for her own good. You're like, yeah, okay. Well, maybe that needs to be addressed.
She took
a
beating.
She did.
To be honest. Like, yeah. Andrade looked really good. Like, she just like packed so much more power. So I think Lauren, like they said in commentary, Lauren's toughness just probably got the better of her, maybe, you know what I mean?
Where and I think, I mean, if you're ever in that situation, if you were in that situation, you kind of think, don't take me out of it. I don't want to come out
of it. No.
But sometimes other people need to make that tough decision for you, because as much as you're living and you're experiencing that 15 minutes there and then, what's it doing at the end of your, do you know, at the end of your career? Because like, look at Chuck. Chuck was known for being so good at his defensive wrestling and obviously counter-striking and all that. But once his chin had gone and it got knocked into next week, there was like probably the last three or four could have been avoided. Do you know what I mean? And you want to be in that world. You want to be remembered. But Jesus, man, it's just so scary, because I use Chuck quite often as an example, because it's easy to relate to, because you can see him as this just superstar on top of the world, and then all of a sudden it's gone. And that's got to be really, really difficult to deal with. Like, you hear wrestlers talk about it, like from WWE, that say like the pop coming out to the crowd and just hearing everyone, that's the drug.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the fight or anything. It's just knowing that they are there
performing
for you.
You are performing. Same as Glover a little bit in the main event.
Yeah, like that could have been stopped, couldn't
it? Yeah, that could have been stopped. But super tough. Like, Jamal fought really good, I thought. Glover looked like it was like a perfect time for him to retire.
Yeah, and I mean, even if he'd have won, it's an absolute horrible road ahead.
I kind of wish he'd have won though and then retired. That would have been...
Oh, it'd have been beautiful for him.
Way cooler. But
I mean, his takedown, like when you think that Craig took Jamal and nearly took his arm home with him and beat him, and Glover's wrestling and jiu-jitsu is fucking incredible.
Mm.
It just shows that Jamal, how he's changed in the last couple of fights.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do you see him retaining it for long, Jamal?
I think it's a very even division.
That's
like everyone's kind of on the same level. Even like the top, well, say like the top five, they're all kind of similar. There's no really like standouts. I mean, Jiří obviously when he was
Jiří had that kind of John Jones kind of feeling.
Yeah,
like something special. I'm not saying Jamal's not special.
Bit of something different division. Yeah. Bit of an anomaly in a way.
Yeah.
Just how he fights. But I wouldn't say, because they were talking about like Anthony Smith might be the next title shot.
Really?
Yeah. And
okay.
You got Ankalaev, Smith, Jan.
Because
Jamal was meant to fight Smith in March, I think, before he got the title shot.
And obviously Johnny Walker, like Paul Craig's got a win over Jamal Hill and Ankalaev.
Yeah.
So The thing is, it's not that I've got
this
any...
This is rankings, though, isn't it?
That's it.
At the minute.
I've not got anything against Jamal because I really like him as a guy, and especially watching the embedded and watching him afterwards and how he's taking it and what it means to him. It's just amazing to see. But when you had a John Jones or an Anderson Silva, the question was always like, who the fuck can beat this guy?
Mm.
Whereas now we seem to be on much more of a level playing field that the majority of the top five could fight 10 times and they could all win half of their matches.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes throughout the UFC at the minute because a lot of people, especially last year, lost their, like Izzy lost his title, yeah. Usman lost his title.
And Ngannou's bounced.
Yeah.
Moreno, like, Figueiredo
like,
decided.
In terms of like champions, like, and at the minute in featherweight, like Volk against Islam, you've got the lightweight and the featherweight champions yeah. fighting. So it's kind of like every division's like, a little bit up in the
yeah.
up in the air at the minute. There's I no like that, solid. Well, I mean, obviously Volk and is at featherweight. That's why he's moving up. But yeah, I kind of like the mystery.
Yeah, man.
Within it.
Yeah, and I think it was like even with Anderson, a lot of the times I'd be thinking I was not that I had anything against him because I loved watching him fight, and he was just an amazing, incredible sort of phenom that landed. But I was always like, who can beat this guy? And I was more interested to see how he'd get beat. And I mean, when Weidman beat him, it was the most random, like hardly even caught him throwing a hand out. And it was such a weird, like, he felt cold. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like when you go, oh, where were you when Princess Diana died? Like, I remember exactly where I was when Anderson Silva lost the belt.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird because it's not important, but it's just nowadays it's so much faster moving.
Yeah. It was like that a bit with Izzy, I thought. Like,
yeah.
Because that was a bit, well, it wasn't a shock because Alex Pereira had beaten him twice before, but I remember where I was when I watched that, to be honest. I was watching it on my phone though.
Oh man, that's the worst.
It was like 4 a.m.
Yeah. I expected Izzy to win. And I think it's just, I got used to being, because even though he'd been beat twice before, it wasn't in MMA. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's the potential to take him down and stuff. But yeah, I think what I've always enjoyed what's always been fascinating, should I say, when a champion gets beat is how they come back. Because if you take someone like GSP, for example, GSP got beat because he overlooked Matt Serra.
Mm.
And when he came back, it's like he was beating him for his fucking dinner money. Do you know what I mean? Mm. He went all out. And then from that point, it was like, I'm never feeling like that forever again.
Yeah.
And he got fully dedicated. But then when you look at someone, there was Miguel Torres in the WEC at the same time that Uriah Faber was the champ, and the pair of them, Faber was like 17 fights unbeaten. Miguel Torres was something like 14. So they were both insane. No one can beat these guys. And Miguel got stopped by Brian Bowles. And Brian Bowles was such a ordinary looking dude. Looked like he cleaned up trolleys around Asda's car park and like parked him back up. You know what I mean? Proper strange. And not strange dude, but like just looks so normal.
Yeah.
No real tattoos or anything. Just didn't
look like a fighter.
Didn't look like a fighter in the slightest. And he caught Miguel perfect. And then you think, all right, we'll see what happens. And kind of, he never bounced back. Do you know what I mean? And it's happened a lot of times with champs, but that always stuck with me because of how dominant he was, that then after one, it kind of, that changed everything. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, back to the like heavyweight division. Like, I don't know who's going to be next for Jamal. But then talking about like Izzy and Alex Pereira, Alex Pereira's called out Jamal in the past day or so.
Yeah.
He put a tweet out saying, how about getting knocked out by me or something like that.
But mate, that would, where would you put your money on that?
What, Pereira going up to light heavyweight? See, that would be cool. I think Pereira, judging by Jamal's and Glover's fight, I think Pereira would beat Jamal.
Yeah.
I think out of like just technically a better striker and probably packs more of a punch, I think, especially at light heavyweight, because you got to think at the minute he's cut into middleweight.
Yeah.
So he's not going to cut, like, he'll be in better shape, he'll be stronger. His conditioning probably might not be as good, but yeah, I think it will be lethal at light heavyweight.
But then you've got Jamal fighting Johnny Walker. And Johnny Walker is a dynamic striker, really dangerous. Not, I know he's nowhere near as intimidating as Pereira, but look what he did. I'm not saying,
yeah.
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate because I would probably lean towards Pereira.
I just don't put Johnny Walker in that bracket of fighters at the minute. I think maybe if he...
How many more wins does he need to be top five for you?
Where is he at the minute in the rankings?
I'm
is
not sure. Like, I did the graphics, but mate, I did so many fucking graphics, I can't remember them. And they're kind of, all the websites are all different.
Let me just...
But, like, Johnny Walker burst onto the scene and was just insane. And at the time, I remember talking to Dan and saying, I'd love to see him against John Jones just because he's an unknown, even though he's not necessarily ranked. And I think, obviously, he came back from that loss. And when did he go five rounds with Johnny Walker?
Oh, Thiago Santos.
So he lost to Hill and fell like a wavy arm man. And then he fought Santos, who was a really close fight with John Jones.
And he's number eight. He's gone up four places.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think if he hasn't...
So he was 12th.
He has a couple more convincing wins like the one against Craig. Because I thought Craig was going to win.
Yeah.
I honestly thought Craig was going to win. But, like, if he can have a couple.
Yeah, I think if Johnny Walker fights, you could even do a Johnny Walker Smith or Johnny Walker Yan.
Yeah. I mean, they've all got pretty equal chances.
I just think it's a bit unfair on people like Magomed and Klaev and Jiří and Rakic maybe to fight below.
Yeah.
But I think... Maybe Glover, obviously. He's retired. Definitely not Glover.
Yeah. So top four plus the champ would probably not fight lower. Obviously, the champ's going to fight lower, but they're not. It's going to be a close within that four.
Yeah. I think the most interesting fight for me is Hill versus Pereira. Like Pereira going up
I'd
to light
to
heavyweight.
That. And
that'd be great if he could be a champ. But the thing is with Pereira at the minute is whether he gets the... Well, there's talks that he's either going to get the Izzy rematch or Whittaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The thing is, that poses an interesting thing because Whittaker is a tactician. I'm not saying Izzy isn't.
Mm.
Izzy
I think Whittaker would have a good chance against
definitely.
Pereira if he can avoid the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's one
it's
of them where
up
I think
in the air at the minute.
Whittaker's probably got a better chance against Pereira than Izzy. Because Izzy seems to be his kryptonite. And a lot of fighters seem to come across it where they struggle. Do you know what I mean? There's a certain person. They like Moreno and Figueiredo. I think Moreno had just... And I know Davison's got some wins against him, but I mean, the last one, which was a decision, I thought that Moreno won. I'm not saying I'm right, but I thought he won. And he's... I just don't think he was intimidated. And I think that sometimes can be that kryptonite that you need, that you've got that self-belief.
Yeah.
Because when you saw Figueiredo at the weigh-in... He was far too emotional, man. Mm. And it's one of them where kill him with kindness. Like it almost works in reverse because then he's in his own head and he's like trying to make a point with this banana and fucking really chomp at him. And you think, dude, you be you, man.
Yeah, I think, well, Figueiredo said at the end of his fight that he's going to move up to bantamweight now. So that's interesting because that could throws him into a pretty strong division.
How would you see him do against Aljamain?
Oh, man, it'd be... I'm not sure.
Hey, there you go.
I don't really know.
That's what makes it the perfect matchup. Because, you know, if you said Aljo's going to starch him or take him down...
I think, Aljo, like, in terms of... Because Figueiredo obviously packs a lot of power, even at flyweight. So going up to bantamweight, I think he'd still be a pretty good power puncher. But I don't know. I could see someone like... Because Figueiredo is only 5'5".
Yeah.
Like, you got someone like Marlon Vera marching you down.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know about Figueiredo. Especially at the minute in bantamweight, I don't... Yeah, it's hard to say.
Because, like, you imagine someone like O'Malley against Figueiredo.
Mm.
It would look like his big brother taking him to school.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
He is small. Like, I mean, obviously, I know he cuts a lot because he's quite heavily muscled, but in height... He's not very big. And bantamweight is,
they are stretched out, aren't they? Because he's compact. Like when you look at, you look at Moreno and even Volk, they're all kind of quite compact.
Mm.
Whereas when you've got people like O'Malley and Vera, they're just, they're long dudes. Even yeah, Corey. They're long, man.
Yeah.
And it's awkward to deal with.
Corey's like 5'10", must yeah. be, something like that.
I mean, what am I? I think I'm about 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, I think it'd still be very competitive because he's still a great fighter. He's obviously champion at flyweight, but it'd be interesting to see him being matched up with anyone in the top five at bantamweight.
What's happening here?
It's pound for pound.
Oh, pound for pound. So, I was about to say, Noah is fine.
Yeah,
I was
Volk about, is currently pound for pound.
I was thinking, is the
graphic. And the featherweight, yeah.
Did you see on the UFC.com the other day, all the graphics were wrong?
It
was like Amanda Nunez, and it was a picture of, I don't know, flipping.
Yeah, I've
Chris
seen
Lieben.
A few spelling mistakes on the UFC website.
Oh, the spelling mistakes when they first did the fight kit. You know, when Reebok came in. Dude, some of the spelling mistakes on
this
there.
This rankings is all right.
Yes. Yeah, the rankings works. Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Apart from featherweight.
Yeah. Ignore featherweight.
Yeah. But, yeah, there's some good fights this weekend, and there is no fights this weekend.
Are you going to watch Die Hard?
Nah.
You're not, are you?
Nah.
Dude, you need to. What have you been watching lately? What have you been watching recently? Anything good?
We've been watching a few new series, actually.
Okay.
Well, I've been recommended Severance, is it?
I've not seen that. Oh, okay. Is that the one with Adam Scott? And he works
is
for a
he
tech
from
company.
Step Brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he works for, yeah.
Yeah.
I've not started watching it yet, but I've been recommended it by a few people.
Yeah, a few
so
people told me about
if
that.
If people know that it's good, yeah.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
Yeah.
He was asleep all along.
He dies at the end.
Yeah.
But we've been going to watch that, and then Happy Valley.
Dude, have you not watched the first two?
No, we actually watched the first two seasons.
Yeah, it's good.
In the past, yeah.
That's only got 2 weeks left. I've not started it yet because it's still got 2 episodes left to go, and I hate being drip fed. And I know that even if I've got 6 or 7.
Have you not started the new series yet?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's really good.
Yeah.
Obviously the first two seasons, really good.
Mate, I loved it. And the problem was, I know that I can binge the first two in like a few days or a week, whereas I know that if I've got to wait, I just hate waiting.
It's a very, very British show, obviously. If you've not seen it, it's set in, where is it, Yorkshire? Is it?
Yeah,
near
it's Sarah Lancaster.
Yeah.
And she was from Sean Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was good. Her and her sister, outstanding.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely one to watch. I mean, you've not even tried Yellowstone yet, have you?
No, it's on Paramount.
Outstanding. Best thing ever. Best thing ever.
Is it the Kevin Costner one?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and literally someone gets fucked up or murdered like every episode. Mm. At least one, maybe two. One of his sons, his body count, like it's like watching Total Recall with Arnie. It's just flying. Doesn't stop going. It's so good. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, have a look.
Yeah, so you've recommended it a few times. I might check it out.
That and Hunters, if you've ever watched on Amazon, it's Al Pacino. And it's set in like the 70s. And Al Pacino is a Holocaust survivor.
Okay.
And basically they go hunting Nazis. And he gets paired up with someone that he knows as grandson. That basically he lets him know there are still Nazis in the world. And he's like, bullshit. And they go looking into it, and it's a whole big thing. And season one was brilliant. And then they've just finished. So they've released all of season two in one go. So I've just finished that. And it's definitely worth a watch, man. It's an interesting take.
Yeah. The thing is now, there's so many series to watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like I find myself just flicking, and you don't really know what's good and what's not, unless you like Rotten Tomatoes, everything. So it's just hard to like select something, but there's been some really good ones on Netflix recently, but then they don't carry them on.
No.
Like that 1899, did you watch that?
Yeah.
About the ship?
Oh, no, I never watched that one, but they can.
Okay. Yeah, they're not making any more.
It was fucking devil.
So I didn't waste it because it was good, but you just want to see
conclusion. Yeah, when they pull the rug and you're like, especially when you got it, when you were getting into it and you're like, this is fucking brilliant. Mm. And then all of a sudden like, no. We think it's shit. And you're like, well, maybe you're shit. Yeah. I hate that, man.
It's not too bad with some seasons because some seasons or some series kind of, they'll end on a, where everything's kind of concluded. Mm. It could carry on. When it's like that, it's fine, like a one-off. But when it has intentions,
yeah,
or it, you know, it continues.
We watched a series with...
It's annoying.
Yeah, I hate it. Like, if I know beforehand, we definitely won't watch it because I don't want to get invested. But it can you remember Scream, the original Scream?
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so one of the killers in that is called Skeet Ulrich.
Mm.
So he was the main character in this program called Jericho. And basically it was about a nuclear attack. Nuclear.
I've heard of Jericho.
Mate, it was fucking brilliant. So like this little town, this little mountainside town in America, and there's these, all these attacks going off and they're like trying to survive, and this town has got a salt mine. So then they're trading with these other people, and it was fucking fast. I think there was, I can't remember his name, out of Snatch was in it, the British guy, Saul. And he was in it, and it was, honestly, the guy off of Snatch, what's it, not Don Cheadle.
Oh,
I will tell you. He's in so much stuff. He's fucking brilliant. I will tell you now.
I know what you mean.
You got me. Hold on. His name is Lenny James.
Yeah.
And he's
good. He's in Walking Dead and stuff.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, and he's in Walking Dead and Save Me and all these others. And he's fucking brilliant. And he was in it. And it was so good. And like they canned it, I think, 3 episodes into season 2 or something like that. It wasn't even like, don't bother. And they'd left it wide open. And it was just, yeah, so fucking gutting. Shit. But yeah, so have a look. But have you, talking about TV shows, have you seen that Connor was tweeting about The Ultimate Fighter, saying coming back to do The Ultimate Fighter?
What, Connor's coming back to do The Ultimate Fighter? Coach. I haven't seen that. Oh,
yeah.
That would be cool. I think that would be, and then for him to fight more at the end of it. Yeah. I think that's pretty, I mean, it would be good TV.
Yeah.
Like for sure. Like to have him in that position. I think that'd be cool. I'd enjoy it. I'd watch it. Yeah.
I think it piques his interest more than anything. Cause I listened to John Kavanagh with an interview and he was saying like what names would excite him. And I think if you are in the gym surrounding as far as with the cameras and like you're building everything back up, I think you would naturally become reinvested.
But I don't think, surely it's not going to be for a title.
Well, fucking hell.
I think Michael Chandler would be really good.
That'd be interesting.
Because he'll be very good on the camera. You know what I mean? He'd make good TV as well, just in terms of their like,
how do you think he would react to Connor's British sense of humour, though? His, like, needle.
Well, that's what I mean. I think Connor could easily get under his skin. And Chandler would
big time.
Yeah.
Mate, big time.
Yeah.
Chandler's, like, American hero, isn't he? So everything's, like, Kellogg's family, shiny white teeth. Do you know what I mean? And I think there's far too much ammo. I don't know if it would be fair to Chandler because it would be maybe a hate crime. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've seen people not react well to it, but I think it would affect him.
They've got to pick someone. But it depends if Connor comes back at lightweight or welterweight.
Well, mate, the size he is at the minute, he's going to be fucking super heavy. Jesus. Yeah.
If he came back at welterweight, that would be like maybe him and Colby.
That'd be good.
That would be pretty fun.
I think the problem is with that Dana knows that he'd be getting taken down and like bow humped.
What, so you think they'd do it in favour of McGregor?
They've got to. Because he's such a high ticket item for the UFC. Because even Jose came out and I saw an interview with him and they were saying, are you mad about Connor? Do you not like him and all this? And he's like, why would I hate him? He paid me the most I've ever earned in my life.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And it's true. It's the red panties. It's a true thing because, and what we've seen from Connor is that the spike hasn't sort of dropped back down again yet. Because even though, like on his way up, he was predicting knockouts and telling you when he was going to do it. And he was facilitating what he was saying. Even when he started losing, I mean, the first one was really the boxing match. And you can say, well, we didn't expect you to. You're going against the world's best boxer ever. So then when he did start losing, like people are still tuning in. So I think, I don't think they would put something that would really have, like stall the fight like a heavy wrestler. Like, I know Chandler's a really good wrestler. But Colby's...
The thing is, with Connor, like, I mean, when he has come back to the UFC, obviously his last two fights were both against Dustin Poirier. Like, Dustin Poirier is a really good fighter. He's like one of the best lightweights ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as if he's come back and he's lost to people who aren't,
no,
you know, at the top of the division.
Yeah.
And like, when he came back against Cowboy, like, he demolished him in 40 seconds.
Yeah, Cowboy was checked out.
I still think I still think he'd be really competitive in whatever division he goes back in. But he'll always be fighting the top guys. So,
yeah,
you know, he's got to be on point when he comes back if he's going
to
win.
I think it'd be interesting to see if you followed him, like, because he's not fought in such a long time. He had that horrific injury.
Mm.
Then he's ballooned up to this absolute muscle shark looking. Can you remember the cartoon, yeah, Muscle Sharks?
Yeah.
Like biker. He looks like one of the biker mice from Mars, like, yeah, fully just muscles on muscles. But like, to drop down to whatever, I mean, he's probably 200 or something at the minute, and to drop down to like 150, 160, whatever weight he's going to drop into, how that's going to affect him, because we know his cardio has never been his shining feature.
I can see him coming back at welterweight, I'll be honest, and like just being a big power punch. Like, obviously, I don't think he'll move as well at welterweight, but he'd still have that power, more of it probably. Yeah. So,
I always enjoyed a McGregor card just because there was a lot of hype. He did a good job of selling
featherweight it. McGregor's the best. It's like, dude, the UFC game. He's the best McGregor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'd be cool if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Fighter.
I think it'd be really
cool.
An exciting way to get him back into it, so that he's just the full soul focus.
There's a long build up as well.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I mean, besides the fight being announced, if he wasn't doing it, but just that it gives him time to kind of reintroduce himself into the UFC.
He's got time to get underneath someone's skin, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And no, Jose's cool. Boxing. Have you seen Jose's boxing?
No.
Yeah.
I've seen promo video on his Instagram, but I didn't think, is that for a fight?
Shooto, I think it's for.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is kind of interesting. I thought he was going to be happily retired, and I was kind of pleased for him about that.
Well, it's funny you come on to boxing.
Oh, God. You're not going to quiz me on boxing, are you?
Well, no, I went to a pub quiz last night.
Oh, go on.
And there was actually a fair amount of fighting questions.
Oh, really?
Enough. Yeah, I think the guy at the quiz master must have liked Tyson Fury.
Okay.
But one of the questions was, how many wins has Tyson Fury got?
Yeah.
Record wins. Do you know what it is?
I do. But that's only because you, you were talking to someone else about it and I heard you say earlier. So is it 33?
Yeah, it's 33.
Yeah.
Did I tell you earlier?
Yeah, I don't want to look like I'm flexing too much because my boxing knowledge is pretty poor. But at the same time, I didn't want to say and get it wrong.
I'd been working on, if you've not checked it out, there's a video on the Full Reptile channel where Dan breaks down Francis Ngannou's potential opponents.
Okay.
Boxing and MMA. So check that out. Who will Francis Ngannou fight next?
Nice.
I'd been working on that video all day and this question came up, so I was like, yes.
Dude, that's perfect. That. Sat in the pub quiz, like, sit back, boys, I got this one.
Yeah, my only contribution.
Yeah, mate, that's always... I normally, whenever we do pub quizzes and stuff like that, it's normally like a logo that's been blanked out. Do you know what I mean? It's just the colours of something, and I'll go, that's Dan on. And they're like, what? Okay, yeah, I don't know why I know, but... like some that's GlaxoSmithKline from, like, you know, the... ointments you get from chemists, it's like GSK. Fuck knows why I know, but I just see the shape and I'm like, yeah, that's that, that's this, and yeah, I embarrass my wife.
Yeah, the guy, the quiz master who gave out the quiz, the picture section was, he forgot that was on there and he didn't have a picture section, so that was crossed out to start.
Oh shit.
But it was a good quiz. It was at the Globe in Leicester, if anyone's ever interested.
Yeah, nice.
It's the oldest pub in Leicester.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old's that? Do you know?
No.
I know that Tyson Fury has 33 career wins. Yeah. The Globe.
I don't know how old the Globe is. But yeah, good quiz. But it inspired me to...
You got some questions?
...start a boxing quiz.
Oh, shit, dude.
For you this week.
Boxing's bad for me. Go on.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My boxing, it's all right.
I mean, they're pretty...
See.
They're
let's
not
see.
Like... I mean, you'll know all the people that I'm talking about.
Okay, okay.
It's not like it was the first ever boxing heavyweight champion or something.
Okay, this is where it gets edited heavily.
Right, so question number one.
Go on.
In which round did Tyson Fury stop Derek Chisora in their last fight? And this was just before Christmas.
Was it 7 or 8? Or was that earlier? No, it was a bit, quite into it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Am I close with 8?
Yeah, you're close.
10?
Yeah, it's 10.
Yeah.
10th round.
See, I didn't jump to 9 there, just to step up. Yeah, okay. 10.
It was a good fight.
It was a good fight. Yeah.
Tyson looked good.
He always looks good, man.
Yeah, I mean,
He's such a...
I mean, yeah, especially Derek Chisora, who arguably probably wasn't really the next person in line, but...
No, but...
Still a
good
fight.
Made him work for it.
Yeah. So, question number two. Deontay Wilder competed in the 2008 Beijing Olympics. What medal was he awarded?
Bronze.
Yeah. Nice.
What's his nickname?
Deontay Wilder, the Great Eraser.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What? The Great Eraser?
Yeah. It's for his right hand.
That's fucking terrible.
Man, when Dan was making that video the other day, he had clips of some of Deontay Wilder's knockouts. Insane.
Yeah.
Like,
he's filth.
People were like convulsing on the floor when they've been hit by him.
He's on like a truck.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Tyson such a... How the fuck is he surviving? And especially the silhouette of Tyson. Like, if aliens came to Earth and was like, show me your best specimen, and you got Deontay Wilder, and he's like chiseled out of fucking marble, like this absolute Adonis. You go, there he is. That's our champion. But he's not. It's like Tyson Fury that looks like he runs a chip shop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's such an impressive...
Yeah, it's crazy. The way Dan broke him down on that fight, like, it's just his intelligence, and like, he knows where to land punches at. Like, he's not really working off like combinations that he's practiced over and over again. Yeah. He's like in the fight and landing what's necessary at that point. And when Dan was breaking it down, like, especially in like slow motion stuff, you can see the little gaps that he gets through.
Yeah.
Especially even in big gloves, like, imagine him in MMA gloves. And I think that's what he's kind of proposed to Ngannou.
Dude.
Is to fight in 4-ounce gloves. And that would be...
It'd be interesting.
Tyson would piece him up.
Yeah.
Like, there is always that risk. There's always that, you know, Ngannou power that can put anyone's lights out. But
it's going to happen relatively quick, because it's disheartening when you can't land on someone and someone is just out... Especially in a very similar sport where you're just being outmoved or whatever it is. And mate, it's scary, because Tyson's, it's like he's unlocked the Matrix. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's a cheat code.
Yeah.
Because like you say, it's not the traditional combo or just find your spot. It's literally this point with this much pressure at this time to slip through this gap, and he puts it together so well.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really cool to watch.
Yeah, man.
So, okay, there you got that one right then, the Deontay Wilder question.
Okay.
So question number three, going back a bit. Who did Muhammad Ali beat to become the heavyweight champion for the first time?
Oh, fuck me. I know this. Oh, my God.
It was in 1964.
Of course it was.
If you want hand...
That's not helped. It was, oh. I can't.
You'll kick yourself.
Yeah, because it's going to be like Buster Douglas or some, like, do you know what I mean? I can't.
You'll definitely know who it is.
I can remember watching all the documentaries. It just didn't, I can't even.
I was watching the Muhammad Ali or Ali, Will Smith film.
What's his initials?
S and L.
Not Sugar Ray?
No.
Leonard? No, because that's not the right time.
S-L.
Sonny Liston?
Yes.
Yes, Sugar Ray.
Okay, bonus points if you can name guess how old Muhammad Ali was when he became champion.
22.
Yeah. Nice.
Fucking hell.
That was good answers. Yeah, I was watching. Yeah, I was watching the Muhammad, the Ali film with Will Smith. It's okay. I'd never seen it before, and
isn't that on Netflix?
It
was.
It just got put on Netflix the other day, so I gave it a watch, and it's all right. It's not the best biopic I've seen, but yeah.
Mate, I'll make sure I'll get some trivia. I'll get you some questions next week as well.
Yeah.
I'll get you all back. Right. I can't boxing. I always enjoyed boxing, and I think the main thing for me was my dad was into boxing,
right,
in a big way, and it was around the times of Eubank and Ben, Tyson and Bruno, and my granddad was so into boxing. He's like, oh, wait till Bruno comes, he's got a new punch, it's this and that. He was just buzzing, and to see how excited he was, I was like, well, I gotta watch it.
Yeah,
I got to stay up late, so we used to watch boxing then. But because my dad had Sky and it was like a big thing, so I'd have been what, 89, I'd have probably been about 8, and Sky was just out, so we'd watch wrestling. It was WWF, and I was so into wrestling. I loved it because I think it was more the pantomime. It wasn't necessarily always the matches. I mean, I enjoyed them, but it was the promos. Mm. It was the massive superstars at the time. These oversized, like He-Man-sized people, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, and Hulk Hogan, and all that. And I would love it. But my granddad detested it because it was so American, in his opinion. Obviously, he's an old boy. He's from an old generation. So he's like, oh, why is there so much talking? Because he was all about English wrestling with Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks.
Right.
And that was like old ladies hitting them with handbags. So when I say I want to watch wrestling, he just couldn't comprehend the American wrestling. But what I found was when I was watching boxing with them, if it was slow or if it was boring because I wasn't understanding it, it lasted forever. Whereas eventually what I found was with MMA, I'd get a lot of the pantomime because by the time I started watching it properly, we were probably on UFC 20 or UFC 30. And I was religiously trying to get hold of it and find it. But you get a lot of the pantomime of the Lion's Den, like the Ken Shamrock sort of crew against Shooterbox or whoever it was. And they're all falling out, and like Hammer House and all these other guys. And the difference was, they were going to smash the fuck out of each other, and they meant it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like took the kind of pantomime from wrestling, WWF.
Yeah,
and
but they fucking mean it.
Yeah, but then there's that like boxing mentality, you know, it's like going to punch you until you're knocked out.
Yeah, sweet science, there was a lot more flash knockouts in MMA because people were used to training in boxing gloves and they learned how to get hit with boxing gloves and the torque and the power and everything that you could generate. In boxing, you'd see it, but in MMA, it was more often. Because if you got someone that was predominantly a grappler and then you got someone like Chuck, he's just headhunting and you're not trained necessarily to defend that. So it looks so much more brutal and more insane. But the main thing was, if it was a slow fight, which in the early days, there wasn't that many slow fights because someone would get mounted and then they'd get beat the shit out of, even if it was a grappler, because they didn't know how to defend it. So the worst you'd have to wait is 15 minutes. Whereas with boxing, because it was like 12 3-minute rounds or whatever, it felt like, fucking hell, is something going to happen? Mm. And so it's not like I ever fell out of love with boxing because I followed it always in parallel, but it was never... Like with UFC, I will not look at my phone on a Sunday. I will not check it. I will not go anywhere near any social media. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. My friends know to not even message me with any sort of inflection in their voice or with the message like, dude, have you watched it? Because I'll be like, Or !! I'm like, why have you? And I start reading into everything.
Yeah, you want to work off a clean slate.
Mate, I'm obsessed. I have to... ingest all the data from embedded and dance things and all the other shit, and then I sit and I wait till the kids are in bed, not because they can't watch it, but because I know that I'd be halfway through and they'd be stood in front of me going, dad, you know when a hedgehog's born, do you think that it prickles the mom? And I'm like, what? And they go, yeah, you know pigeons. I'm like, fucking hell. I need to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's wicked. And I think that's why I'm gutted this weekend. There's nothing, is there?
No, nothing this weekend. But yeah, back with Derek Lewis and Spivak. the following week. And then after that, it's... Is it UFC 284 after that?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Have you seen that Floyd Mayweather, is fighting Aaron...
Yeah, I did see this. I didn't know whether it was true or not. Is it actually... Is it happening? Is he on a boxing tour, Mayweather, at the minute?
Yeah.
A something...
Can-crushing boxing tour.
Yeah. Such a weird matchup and... Fair, I get it. Like, you know, if it's making you money and stuff.
Oh, 100. Apparently, that Aaron guy's a really nice dude. I think I know a few people that have met him and said he's super humble because obviously he was on Geordie Shore. He was on Geordie Shore, which is just a reality TV show. If you've not seen it, I'm sure you will have seen it. And essentially, the louder and more brash you are, the more attention you get normally in that sort of world. But he's heavily tattooed and he made a point of moving over to MMA and he's had a pretty good show. Like he had one where he got dominated on the ground a bit.
He was fighting in Bellator, wouldn't he?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So he put the time in and everyone that I spoke to that knew him was saying that he's a nice dude. He seems like a genuine dude. But to see that he's going up against Mayweather, if you asked me to go up against Mayweather for $1 million, I would lace up the gloves gladly.
Yeah, the thing is with Mayweather, like he's not... Obviously, he's a lot older and kind of his career ended a while ago now, but he's not out of shape or he's not become out of shape. He's still in pretty good fighting shape. So, you know, I can see him doing these kind of things for a while just to earn people money and like boost his promotion and stuff like that.
How much damage do you think it brings to his brand though, the tail end of his career?
But the thing is, he never got hit as well. So he's in terms of his like fighting lifespan.
Yeah,
I think he's still all right.
but the actual, you know, like the legacy that he leaves. Like you know, when you look at someone like Bisping, for example, he climbed and failed the mountain a few times, but then eventually he cracked the mountain. He got the belt, and then when he finished, there was a lot behind it to say, look, you're getting older. You've got one eye. This, and this. And he's like, do you know what? Yeah, good. I'm done. I walk away a champion, essentially. But, like, Mayweather did that, and he was fighting the very best, very best, very best, very best. And obviously, even when he did Conor, that was like a nice swan song to sort of go, even if he was going, fuck you, to MMA or whatever he was doing, he was, like, proving a point. And he can say what he wanted about the punches that landed. He was like, look, I knew what I was doing. I decided, and I was leading that dance. That, to me, was, like, the perfect swan song because... The brand was super strong. He's got a great following and all the rest of it. But the more small, like less known people that he fights, there's always a chance that he's going to be a highlight reel freak knockout.
Yeah. Now you say that, like it's going to come to a point where one of these YouTubers might catch him and just spark him out.
That's it.
And that does affect his legacy.
That dilutes
because
everything.
He is known as the best boxer ever.
I mean, of course.
No one ever beat him.
No.
So it's, well, I don't know about amateur career, but yeah.
Did he
as
have
far
one
as
loss
his
in
pro
amateur?
Career.
I think one loss in
yeah,
amateur.
Yeah, because there's that video of him like super, super upset because of that loss.
Was that an Olympics one?
After that, he never lost again.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking of Khabib or something like that. Yeah.
I think that's what I mean, but yeah.
Because I saw that Logan Paul was chasing him because apparently he's still not been paid by him.
Right.
Which
no
is,
idea.
I mean, and that's picking up on something you said about him making money for people. Like, if you're fighting people off Geordie Shore and you're saying, yeah, I'll give you $1 million, and then you get, well, you get beat on whatever card, and then it's like, yeah, we're not going to give it you.
Yeah, I think Mayweather's still in that, like I said, in his fighting lifespan, where I think he's okay at the minute against guys like this.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd be competitive if you're actual boxers.
No.
Not to say that these guys, like, what's it, Aaron Chalmers, like, obviously he's a trained MMA fighter, so he's obviously trained boxing.
And he's got decent hands, but it's still...
He's knocked people out and, you know, I'd say it's a lot more of a threat. Who, Chalmers?
Yeah, he's not been doing it for the past 30 years and honing his craft.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, and... Yeah, it's an interesting one. But I'd say he's probably more of a threat than someone like a Logan Paul who, you know, as well as he's he's a big guy and strong, and you know, he's obviously trained, but it's different when someone's been doing it. Yeah.
Did you watch? Professionally. Did you see Eubank Jr.?
Did he? He won, right?
No.
Oh, did he not?
No.
Oh, right. Okay, I haven't seen it.
Oh, mate. Well, yeah. Well, you'll see it. But yeah. it was impressive, and he was, he's not a happy bunny, but he was done.
Yeah, I think because that fight with him and Conor Benn never got to
gold.
That would have been great, but yeah, I think Conor. Yeah, I think that's a fight we're still probably going to see one day. There's hopefully. There's too much rivalry and past rivalry. Mate. That's
family, like family glory.
From a British boxing perspective, yeah,
it was everything.
Really cool fight. But yeah, let's get back on to, well, I've got two questions left.
Oh, okay. Sorry, dude.
It's all right.
Mackling on randomly. Go on.
What are we doing? Are we good for time?
Yeah, we've got, it's 7 minutes to six.
All right. I'll rattle through these last two questions.
Go on then, dude.
So number four, Mike Tyson had 50 career wins. Of how many of those were knockouts?
Something like 47 or something insane like that.
Is that your final answer?
No. Let me have a think. Oh, man. It's up there, isn't it? It's high.
Yeah, yeah. Really high.
It's not 49, is it?
No.
Go on.
44.
Yeah. I knew it. Well, I should have stuck with 47. That was I know it was insane. He's insane with cuss on his, by his side, bless him.
Yeah. And so the last question, which British boxer starred as Pretty Ricky Conlin in the Rocky spin-off movie Creed?
Ah, mate. Well, Fight Disciples, mate.
Yeah, I think Bellew. I know you mean. Yeah, Tony Bellew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty Ricky Conlin.
Why didn't they just call him Tony Bellew?
What, star of as himself?
Of course. I mean, spoiler alert, he wins. So it's not like they go...
I always think that, like, the same as, what's his name? The one in Rocky V.
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
Tommy Gunn! Mate, he's had a... Have you ever watched his documentary?
No, I know his story. Like,
fucked.
Yeah, fucked. But I've not watched the doc. There's actually... Dan introduced me to a YouTube channel. It's called Bored Films. Well, I think it's called Joseph Vincent, the guy who must make these videos. But the documentaries he makes are called Bored Films. And there's just old clips from like old footage, old fights and old like promos and stuff like that, all put into like a kind of a 45-minute documentary. It's a really cool channel. Because he put me onto a Tyson Fury one. But there was one about, what's his name in real life? Tommy Gunn.
It's not Tommy Fury. That's just because you just said Fury. I'm sure it's Tommy.
Is it?
I'm sure it is. But
yeah, look it up.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, his story is, well, it's really sad.
Yeah.
But he's Rocky. I never appreciated Rocky V.
No, I mean, it was one of the ones. Wow. It's strange because my favourite Rocky is Rocky IV, and it's so far along.
Really?
Usually...
It's the first couple.
Yeah, usually it's the first or the second. In a series of movies that long,
yeah,
it's usually the first couple that are the best. And
mine was always...
the first one.
It was always three because it had Mr. T in it.
Right, yeah.
Clubber Lang. Clubber Lang was the fucking man.
Yeah.
And then...
I like them all, I'll be honest. There's not...
Yeah, I think mine goes 3, 4, 1, 2.
3, 4, 1, 2.
Five what,
and then
exist.
Five's just into
it
the...
It doesn't exist. And then the Creeds, I just caught sort of... I watched it,
The first
it, but...
Creed's actually all right. I enjoyed it. I mean, this, you're kind of watching it for what it is, you know, just a cool action film.
If you want a boxing film, Play It to the Bone is Antonio Banderas and Woody Harrelson.
Play It to the Bone?
I think it's Play It to the Bone. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That guy's name is Tommy Morrison, which I should have known.
See, mine's always Raging Bull. Probably in terms of boxing films, just like
it's a lot faster.
There's a lot
than
of
Raging
aspects
Bolt.
Of that film that are brilliant.
Play it to the bone. Yeah, they fucking hell. 1999.
Okay, Woody Harrelson.
Woody
and
Harrelson.
Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas. Mate, it's fucking brilliant.
Is it?
Mate, when I watched it in 1999, it was. And I can't really
it's
give too
well.
Much away, but it's I've not watched it for a long time. But as far as like old boxing movies go,
yeah. If anyone's got any cool boxing movies that we may or may not have seen, yeah, then put them in the comments.
Or even MMA ones. Like, if you have you ever watched Cradle to the Grave?
No.
Oh, man. It's like...
Is that on Netflix at the moment?
I don't know, but it's like someone did a load of coke and was like, do you know what we need? We need Jet Li and DMX and some quad bikes and MMA fighters. And they were like, what? And he's like, have you had a fucking fever dream? He's like, no. There's going to be like an underground pit fighting crew with fucking all of Randy Couture's mates. And then we're going to chase them on a quad bike. And then Jet Li's going to jump in and DMX is going to be there. Yeah, X is going to give it to you. All right. And they made it. And it's kind of shit, but at the same time, it's fucking brilliant. Because it's just, if you watched it at the time, but the underground scene is just, there's so many fighters that you'll recognize. And you're like, oh my God, that's fucking Matt Lindland. That's Tito Ortiz. Yeah, and that's Randy. So yeah, I like seeing the cameos. When I was doing the trivia for Full Reptile, I did one with all the cameos of when MMA people turned up in things. And like, Uriah Faber's in Godzilla.
Is it?
Yeah. And there's...
Which one?
The newer
98 one.
No, the newer one.
I was going to say.
Yeah, 98 is still in school. But no, the newer one. And...
Whereabouts?
He's one
of the
Marines.
In the first one, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a film called The Death and Life of Bobby Z, which was Paul Walker from Fast and the Furious.
Right.
And basically made it big on Fast and the Furious. And then they're like, oh, MMA's on the up. You're really good in Fast and the Furious. Tell you what. And they put it together. And he was like, there was all of the Miletic camp in there with Chuck. So you had Chuck Liddell, Pat Miletic, Robbie Lawler, Tim Sylvia.
Okay.
Like really obvious, like they're thugs in a prison. Mate, there's so many random ones that just pop up here and there. Like, if you ever watched King of Queens, did you watch the King of Queens with Kevin James? You know where you've not seen, so he's a DHL delivery man. And
King of Queens?
Yeah, the King of Queens.
The series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know Kevin James, the big Adam Sandler's best
mate. Yeah. I have seen that. Yeah.
So it's got Ben Stiller's dad.
Right,
Jerry Stiller is the dad. Leah Remy. There you go. So that pissed up. And one of the times, then they're in there downstairs in the restaurant thing, cafe, whatever. And Dan Henderson turns up with Rampage and like a load. And I think Randy's there again. And he's like daydreaming about fighting these guys because he is a massive MMA fan.
Oh, is
like,
he?
All of the original MMA, UFCs from say 40 onwards, you'd pan the crowd and you got David Spade, Kevin James, Marge something from CSI, another blonde woman from CSI, what's her name from Natural Born Killers? I can't remember her name.
I can't remember her name.
No. But they're always in the audience. And so, yeah, the little cameos.
It's just like got Jared Leto now.
No, it's not Jared Leto.
No, I'm just saying. If you pan around in a UFC event now, it's just Jared Leto.
Yeah, it's... Her name is Juliette Lewis. That's it. So, yeah, who's sponsored by IMDb as well this week. But yeah, it's... I kind of like it when you pick up and you see these little ones pop up. Like when Randy popped up in Expendables, one of my most proud moments of Stace was it panned across the bad guys in Expendables 1 and there's the Nogueira brothers stood there, no speaking part, just in a beret. And she went, was that Big Nog and Little Nog? And I was like, that's my wife, people. So this is well proud of her. So all good.
Solid, man. I'd... just looking at the time, we might have to give this a wrap in a minute.
Yeah, no worries, dude. No worries. Well, it's giving you an hour's...
I will throw the last question out there, though.
Oh, go on.
Should we just leave this one for the viewers to answer in the comments?
Oh, you could have said all that on one of the ones I couldn't fucking get.
Yeah.
Go on.
Where is it? I can't find it now. Oh, yeah. Has Tyson Fury... has he got an Olympic medal, true or false?
Oh, and no Google.
Yeah.
No.
I just forget people have frigging Google it probably.
Yeah.
But it's out there and if you don't want to cheat, you can guess. And
yeah, don't look at the other comments. Just answer yourself.
Yeah.
And let us know what series you're watching and what toys you're playing with.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good show, man.
Yeah, good to see you all again. Thank you, pleasure. And we'll see you next week, eh?
Yeah, check out The Drop as well that's coming this weekend.
Sunday, 4 p.m. And also on, obviously, New Shirt. They've got some new Bits and Bobs coming up, sponsored again by New Shirt. So that's what I was going to say. Maybe DC, if we get New Shirt to send DC one out after he started screaming, stop the fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's the next campaign we need you guys to back. Get us New Shirt trending so we can get DC a shirt to say stop the fight. Yeah. Nice one.
Nice one.
See you next week.
Take care.
Take easy, dude.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.